The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message. Someone's knocking at the door.
All things are what? Possible to the one who believes. We are looking at our Lord Jesus Christ taking the disciples on a journey to learn faith. Nobody is born with it, you learn it. And someone must know that faith is also natural, because you go to a canteen, you buy food, you don't know who cooked it. And you sit down and you finish it, all of it, and you don't know who cooked it. Nobody goes to the restaurant and say, I want to see the medical report of the cook. Does he have diarrhea? No, faith is natural. Without faith, all of us will be wrecks. Because if you want to enter a motor, you say, whoa, I want to see your driver's license. The conductor will say, get down. Yes, faith is natural. But we are talking about spiritual faith, the one that changes the world. Can somebody say amen to that? Okay, so come with me. Mark chapter 11, verse 12. Now the next day, when they had come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something to eat. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he will not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations? But you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his teaching. When evening had come, he went out of the city. Verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And all the people said, amen. Now, why was our Lord Jesus Christ teaching these deep lessons on faith to his disciples? The reason is because, like I mentioned briefly in the first service, he was going to give them a global commission that involves going to uncharted territory to establish the kingdom of God in the hearts of men and women they've never met before. Now, I want us to look at two versions of this commission. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He said, go into all the world. And he was giving that commission to 12 men, or 11 then, because one had dropped off. 11 men, many of whom didn't go to school. Okay, we go to Acts 1, 4 to 8. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times and seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority, but shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, all Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. To the very end of the earth, you take this gospel. Now, I want everyone here this morning to stop and think about this. These 11 men were unlettered. They didn't go to school. Most likely, they've never traveled outside of Palestine, outside of Israel. They've never traveled for once. And yet, Jesus said, go into where? All the world. That's amazing. That's amazing. It's like coming to people in a village and say, go into all the world. All the world they knew is the village. Okay? He did not leave them a huge bank account. You know, if he left them a huge bank account, you say, well, he gave them money to do it with. He didn't leave them a huge bank account. He didn't leave them an estate. You know, they could say, okay, by the time you rent the estate, money will be coming in for you to use. Okay? He didn't leave them chains of factories, you know, to give them money. No, he didn't. But he gave them a global commission. You are going to go into where? All the world. Okay? In fact, if anything, these disciples had no money at all. So how do we know that? Let me show you how we know that. Because after our Lord Jesus died, the women who used to bring money, they also dispersed. It was women who were bringing money. Mark 15 verse 40 says, there were also women looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less and of Joseph, and Salome, who also followed him and ministered to him when he was in Galilee. Many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. It was the women who paid the bills. Now, in Luke chapter 8, the Bible says, now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 disciples were with him. And certain women, verse 2, who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. Yes, it was the women who paid the bill. So how do we know these women financiers went home after he died? Here is the answer. They went back to fishing. You see, they were fishermen when they started. So Jesus called them. And so people came and financed them. After Jesus died, the people left and they went back to fishing. John 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. This is the way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we are going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat. So, you can see, when there's no more money coming in, the people went back to what they knew. What was their work? They were fishermen. So they went back to fishing. So, Jesus, our Lord Jesus, didn't leave them a lot of money. No. Because as soon as he died, all the supporters disappeared. But still, he gave them a global commission. All he said to them was this, whatever you need, ask, and the Father will what? Give unto you. Okay, Luke 11. I want you to see Luke 11 from verse 9. It is very important for men and women who want to do things for God to rise up and know that every work is done by faith. It's for those who believe. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That's why the scriptures say the just shall live by faith. Okay? If you're empowered through faith and the anointing, you can travel the entire world and spread the gospel. And that's exactly what the disciples did. Okay? They didn't have a five bank account. They didn't have rich sponsors. It did not stop them because there is a God who said, ask and you shall what? Receive. Okay? Everybody who wants to walk with God, you must know that. You know? You don't depend, oh, yeah, I have this, I have... No. Everybody lives by faith. Okay? You have to continue to trust God, to make provision, to make increases, to create opportunities, to bless his people. That's why Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Sometimes I meet with people. I say, oh, what do you want to do? You say, oh, I want to do this and I want to do that. So, yeah. So what's the problem? So I don't have any money. I say, ah, no. Money is not the first thing. You must believe first that thing that you are doing, number one, God is in it, okay? In other words, God urged you to do it. Number two, that God is able to make a way, even where there seems to be what? No way. Yes. When I started my hospital, nobody was ready to support me. Everybody discouraged me. Where will you find money to start it? Where will you find money to start it? But the Spirit of God said, just believe, just believe, just believe. And I kept believing. He said, okay, give an offering. I will give. Every time I give that offering, I thought, oh, the hospital will start the next day. It didn't start. I will give offering again. I think it will start the next day. It didn't start. That's why that scripture, if you want to read it correctly, it will say, ask. And keep on asking until you what? Receive. Yes, seek and keep on seeking until you find. Knock and keep on knocking until the door is open. That's what persistent faith is all about. You never give up because you passionately believe that there is a God in heaven and he answers what? Prayers. Yes. You see, ask and you shall receive is not sit down and manna will be coming down from heaven. No, that's not what it means. What it means is get yourself positioned to do something you believe God is leading you to do. And even if there seems to be no way, God will make what? A way. I always tell the preacher's story, you know, of a young man, okay? He finished school cert. He couldn't find work. He couldn't find money to go to university. So he came to church, and somebody said, I know a man that needs a gate man. He needs a gate man. The boy said, that's not the kind of work I'm gate man ke. But unknown to him, that is the road that God has already prepared. You know, what he didn't know was that if he had taken that gate man job, one day he will open the door. You open that gate, somebody will drive in. And he said, good morning, sir. Can I help you, sir? He said, oh, I'm looking for Mr. Johnson just drove out. But let me bring you a paper so you leave a note. So the man left. Then after, the man met Mr. Johnson. That is a gate man. He's very intelligent, too. He said, yes. He doesn't have any sponsor. I will sponsor him. That is it. You see? He didn't know that that is the plan. But he needed to humble himself, to trust God, so that the door can open. Yes. That's how many people miss things. They miss things. Because they want to tell God how to answer the prayer. No, nobody tells God how to answer the prayer. That's why the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The children of God. So, if you come to church and they say, there's one man looking for gate man. He say, Lord, should I take it? He say, yes, so take it. You know, there's a road there. There's a road there to where you want to go and where God is taking you. So, it's important, brethren, it's important to know the way of faith. You know, so many people, you know, they got what they didn't think they came for, you know. You come to a place led by the Spirit of God. And then, while you are there, a door opens. A door opens. And the rest, like they say, is history. And that's why the Bible says that just shall live by faith. And there's something else we pick up. You see, lessons on faith is important. It's the fundamental. Everybody must know it if you want to make progress. The Bible says, if you ask for fish, will he give you a scorpion? You know, if you ask for bread, will he give you a stone? Then he says in verse 13, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much will their heavenly Father give, not bread, not chicken, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Do you know the meaning of that? Many people will read that. They don't know the meaning of that. Here is what it means. Whatever your need is, whatever your situation is, what you need is the release of the anointing that will accomplish it. So by the time you pray and pray and pray, then the anointing comes down and favor. Every door begins to fly open. That's how it works. That's why we pray and pray and pray. What are we waiting for? For the anointing to come down. Because the moment the anointing comes down, everything runs like magic. Oh, yes, I know it to be true. Because when I was starting that hospital, the moment the anointing came down, favor, hey, unbelievable. The people selling machine gave me on credit. People selling bed gave me on credit. The people selling theater thing, they gave me on credit. Everybody was giving me credit. They don't even know if I will perform well. You know, they don't know if I will perform well. No. Favor. That's why the Bible says God will release the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Once he wants, he's ready to do something in your life, the anointing to do it will come down upon you. And then everything begins to work. I had favor in Nigeria. I had favor in the United Kingdom. I had favor in Sweden. Everywhere I went, I had favor. That's the power of the anointing. So that's why you need to remember that. You need to remember that. How did they get the money to fund the vision and the mission. They don't tell you in us. You know, a lot of people say, well, Lord, if you want me to go and do a work in Ghana, you need to give me at least 100 million so I can rent house there, so I can do this there, so I can do... If that money is not available, please, I don't think I will even start. That is it. But that's not the way it works. The way it works is, come and go to say, Lord, I'm ready. Oh yeah, start. You start. Somebody will see you and say, what are you doing? What are you doing? You say, I'm building a kingdom for God here. Oh, where is the here? You say, on this room I'm sitting. This room is the kingdom. And they will laugh. Yes, they can laugh. But if the anointing comes down on that room will explode to become the kingdom. That's why the anointing is the key. And that's what faith is about. He said, keep asking, keep asking, keep asking until the anointing comes down. When we started Kingdom Life Ministry, let me share these practical lessons to you. We were using a church because we meet on Saturdays. We are using a church. They meet on Sundays. So every Saturday morning, from 7 to 9, we use their place only. But every year, when we come in January, the woman will say, the woman who owns the property will say the people haven't paid them. So you will refuse to put on generator. And all of us will be sweating inside there. Honestly, she did it the first year. She did it the second year. She did it the third year. And after that, I said, we will not be here next year. We will not be here next year. That is it too. It was a prophetic word. We will not be here next year. January, we will not be here. We don't have land though. We didn't have land. We didn't have money. In fact, somebody who was there that day said, when I said we will not be here next year, it looked like this. Who are the people that will make it happen? Yes. But that's not what is required. What is required is what God wants to do. Once the anointing comes down, it will happen. Cut a long story short, we found land in Lekki, phase one. You know, we found land in Lekki, phase one. And then we built a house on it. We built a house on it. God said, build a house. We built a house on it. When we finished that house, they came and told us that the person who gave us the land is not the owner. Yes. Say he's not the owner. So who is the owner? They said, well, the owner says you should come and bring 500 million for one plot of land. 500 million. Otherwise, pack out. Cut a long story short. Within that year, I said, we will not be here. By first Saturday in January of the next year, we were already in that building. Yes. 1 year flat, we had built the house. So, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. A lot of people sitting down, they will be asking, but how will you do it? Tell me how you will do it first so I can believe. I said, no, that is seeing is believing. Faith is believing is seeing. We believe to see. So, when we believe, the anointing comes down. And the anointing is what will make a way. It will make people willing. That's what he did for the disciples. After people got born again, they were so sacrificial in their giving. They were bringing their disciples that didn't plan how they will finance the mission. People were bringing sacrificially. And they had money to care for the widows, to care for the orphans. They had money, you know. And yet, it was not planned. Okay, so it's important to understand how the spiritual system works. The just will always live by faith. Those who trust God, they discover all the time that God makes what? A way. He makes a way. He makes a way. If you can believe, Jesus said, all things are what? Possible. All things are possible. Okay, In those early days, when their disciples started preaching the gospel, if you go to some organizations today, they have what we call missionary boards. You know, those missionary boards are the ones who sponsor missionaries. So when you go there, they'll be sending you money. Pastor Elton came to Nigeria, the late Pastor Elton, he came to Nigeria in 1934, I think, 33 or 34. Now, in his church in England, there are people who committed to bringing 10p in those days. Every Sunday, they must bring 10p to support Pastor Elton. And they were supporting him till he died, and they continue supporting his wife till all of them have died now. Because his daughter is 90 years now. So all the people who were supporting his father, they've all died too. Somebody praise the Lord. So it's important to know that God has a way. So don't let anything limit you in what God is asking you to do. Don't let anything limit you in the vision God is giving you. Because God makes a way. He makes a way. Even where there seems to be no way. In the days of the apostles, this was how they did it. Acts 11:27. Now, I'll show you Acts 11:27. And during these days, prophets, inspired teachers, and interpreters of the divine will and purpose, they came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them, named Agabus, stood up and prophesied through the Holy Spirit that a great and severe famine would come upon the whole world. And this did occur during the reign of Claudius. So the disciples resolved to send relief, each according to his individual ability, in proportion as he had prospered, to the brethren who lived in Judea. And so they did, sending their contributions to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. Now look at how God works. Okay? A famine is coming. Nobody has seen it, though. It hasn't come yet. And God comes through prophetic word. A famine is coming. You know, a famine is coming. And so the people who heard it, their hearts were stirred. And they started making what? Contributions to support people who will suffer in the famine. That's how God works. So now the people in Jerusalem who were very oppressed and very poor, you know, They would have suffered and died. And then that would have affected the gospel. But God sent a word of prophecy to those who are prospering in the Gentile nations. You know, a famine is coming. Send something to people in Jerusalem. You know, that's how God works. And that's how you can be sitting, wondering, how will I eat? How will I? Then people are coming with supplies because God is sending them. That's why the Bible says, with God, all things are what? Possible. He will send help to you from people you know. He will send help to you from people you don't know. You don't know. You've never heard of them before, but they will come. I read a story. The man told a story of his life. His name is Brother Andrew. He used to smuggle Bibles to communist countries before. And one day he was coming back and his Volkswagen Beetle knocked engine. So, because he was a man of faith, he took it to a workshop and said, "Change, put a new engine." He didn't have money to pay. But he believed God will do something. And so he took a train ride to meet a distant relation. He thought that when he got there, somebody will give him the money. They didn't give him anything. So he said, then God must have another way. But he had given two students from Holland. He's giving them lift to carry them to Holland. So those students wandered away, waiting for the man to change the engine. If you know Volkswagen Beetle, you can change the engine very quickly, you know, because it's not too complicated. So as he was coming back from his own trip, those two students came running, so excited. So he said, "What's the matter?" He said, "As we were just walking around, though, one woman came and met us, Are you the two students traveling with the Dutch missionary? We said yes. He gave us an envelope. Say, God said I should give you to give to the man. Ah. When he opened the envelope, that is the cost of the engine. Yes, you have to know that God is able. Yeah? Yes. I read the story of George Mueller. He's a German, but he came to England and he was running an orphanage. You should read George Mueller if you want to walk by faith. You should find George Mueller's book and read it. He ran that orphanage for many years. He never asked anybody to donate any money. All the people that gave money, they gave money as the Holy Spirit led them. Then one morning, they had no bread for breakfast. So he asked the children to come to the dining room as usual, okay? And they prayed for the food. And they were making the tea. A van drove up. It was the bakery in town. He said, they told us to bring this bread here. God is awesome. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. He never asked anybody for money. You know, he trusted God. And God kept opening doors, kept delivering. For many years, can you imagine? You never collected offering one day. You didn't have a crusade. You know, there are people here who will give 1 million. All these things they do. You know, oh yeah, stand up. You know, they used to do it in our church. Some people will stand up for 10 million. Kobo, they will not bring. Kobo, they will not bring. You know, so God has his way. The man will just kneel down and pray. And God will be sending people, you know, with all kinds of supplies. And he ran the orphanage for many years. Somebody praise the Lord. So, it is important that you and I understand how to walk by faith. The number one thing is God in it? You know, I cannot come now and say, I want to own a football team. I say, did God ask you to own a football team? I want to own a bakery. Did God ask me to run a bakery? When I was running my business, some people suggested to me, and even I myself, I also thought that I should have branches in Port Harcourt, branches in Abuja, branches here, branches there, you know. I went to God and I prayed, and God said, you want branch? I said, yeah, maybe branch, one or two branches. He said, okay, go and do damfo. One day I was sitting in my house. Somebody came to me. They're selling granite in Russia. Russia, granite. Said, but if you borrow 1 million in the bank, you will fill 3 containers with granite. And then when you send it to Russia, they will sell each container for 1 million. So you use 1 million, pay back the bank, and then you have 2 million. I said, okay, let me pray. So I knelt down, and God said, ha, doctor, because of money, you want to be granite seller. you see, you have to be sure God is in it. Some people now, when they say, I want to sell granite, it's okay. They say, that's money. Ah, money is in Russia. Okay. They start selling granite. Then the granite go there. You say, have they sold it? No. The Russian people, they too slow. After say, 6 months, have they sold it? They say, Kokoro, don't enter all of them. That is what the man told me. If I had borrowed that money, that's how I'll be hearing Kokoro, don't enter all of them. And then when I go to pray, God will be asking me, who sent you? Who sent you? So you only do the one that God is saying, because that's the one the anointing will come down on. He said, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit? That's the anointing to those who ask him. But they have to be doing what God wants, so what God has said they should do. Then the anointing will come down on it. And then the things that the people are saying is not possible, they will all become what? Possible. Because God is in it. Can somebody say amen to that? So, Jesus said in the scripture we read, in verse 20, "Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has what? Perished from the roots.'" Perished. Jesus only spoke. So he was teaching them the power of the spoken word. That's why you don't use your mouth to talk rubbish. No. You don't use your mouth to talk rubbish. Because there's power in words. Jesus said to his disciples, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are what? Life." Yes. Words are powerful. I want to show you. You see, the apostles, Peter was so excited. "You just spoke to the fig tree and the fig tree died." Okay? A lot of people don't know why they call it the sword of the spirit. Do you know why they said, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, that the sword of the spirit is what? The word of God. Yes, the sword of the spirit is the word of God. So we wear the sword where? In the mouth. That's where we wear our own sword. You see, they wear their sword in the hand because their own is physical. We wear our sword in the mouth. I want to show you Revelation chapter 1, verse 16. Look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 16. "In his right hand he held 7 stars." That's talking about our Lord Jesus. "And out of his mouth came a what? A sharp, two-edged sword." The sword is in his mouth. That's where he uses it. That's why he said, let no man eat fruit from thee forever. And the tree what? Perished. The tree perished. Now, come with me to Revelation chapter 19, verse 14. I'll show you something there. "The armies of heaven wearing fine linen, white and pure, they follow him on white horses." Verse 15. "A sharp sword comes out of where? His mouth." You see? A sharp sword is coming out of his mouth. "To strike down the nations." That's how 11 people change the world. When they stand and speak and make decrees and bind devils and bind spirits that are contrary to the kingdom of God, those spirits give way. That's how 11 illiterate people change the world. See, you and I are coming here and saying, Christ has commissioned us to change this Nigeria. And some people are like, "Hey, I don't know. The Muslims have their own. The pagans have their own. I don't know. changing the world, I don't know. I think let's all just concentrate in changing this small lecky." Yes. Because they're thinking, where will we find the money? Where will we find the people to build something that will change Nigeria? I said, they didn't ask you to find money and find people. They said to believe, to pray, to speak words, you know, of faith. And things will start to shift. You don't necessarily have to shift them yourself. They will start to shift because God knows what to do. Can somebody say amen to that? Yeah. How many of you have heard of Pastor Elton's prophecy? Have you heard? Raise your hand if you have heard of Pastor Elton's prophecy. Yes. That Pastor Elton's prophecy, do you know what he says? He says that this Nigeria, Pastor Elton is the man that came here in 1933 or 34 and died here in 1988. He spent 50-something years here. You know, he didn't go back to England again. He gave a prophecy, you know, before he died, long ago, before he died, that this country will be known for corruption. Corruption. And that the place will be stinking because of that corruption. How many of you are in band A? How many people, is your house in band A? Oh, all of you. Ah, look at these people. Are you all band B? Band aid. Band aid. Do you know that some people, you know what they're saying? You say, praise God, hallelujah. They've demoted me to band B. People are praising God for demotion. That is how what they have done in the country. He said, the place will stink because of corruption. He said, but after that phase of corruption, there will be a phase of righteousness. He said, Nigeria will be known for righteousness. And people will be coming from all over the world to learn the way of righteousness from us. Some people will hear it, they say, eh, this Nigeria, will Olokpa also be converted? Olokpa that we see, you say, where do you carry? That is it, too. So when they think about the reality, they think this is not possible. That is it. But the sword is where? In the mouth. The sword is in the mouth. You kneel down and you begin to call forth, a righteous Nigeria, come forth. Come forth. You are in the plan and purposes of God. A righteous Nigeria, come forth. Every power, every force contrary to a righteous Nigeria, I bind you. The sword is in the mouth. That's why the Bible says God has made us kings and what? Priests. Yes. Yes. I want you all to rise and join the band of men and women who will not take no for an answer until a righteous Nigeria becomes a reality. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I want to see it in my lifetime. Don't ask me how old I am. You know, at least that will tell you that, you know, heaven has to hurry up. Yes. Yes. A righteous Nigeria must be a reality. The prophecy is over 50 years old. And we have had enough of corruption. You know, there is a road, expressway in Bagada. Expressway in Bagada. One day, I'm passing there. I see a big hole on the road. I say, somebody needs to come and fill this, you know, because one day, somebody will have accident in this thing. It wasn't even quite 3 months. A man I know, he had accident there and died. And then after that, somebody came and fixed it. Can you imagine? After somebody has died. Corruption is very expensive. A lot of untimely deaths. You know, so much evil. And do you know the tragedy? A lot of times, people in the church are part of it. I went to a women's convention somewhere, and one lady came and met me. He said, the woman that is collecting money from me in her office every time, she is here at the convention, you know. Yet every time I go to her office to do something, she must collect money. That is it. So if the people in the church are part of the corruption, that's why you know you and I have to pray. Because the church is the one to bring light in a world of, yes, yes. You know, what God wants us to do is, if they are collecting money in this office, but you have a table too. That form they're coming to collect, you're one of the people giving it. Where you are giving it, nobody pays money. A man went to an office, you know, where they're paying for something. He said there are three queues. There are three queues, okay? Three places you can pay. In one place, in two places, nobody is there. In one place, the line has stretched to the road. Why? That place where the queue is, the boy doesn't collect money. He just gives them correctly. But the other people collecting money, nobody's going there. And he discovered that that boy who is not collecting money is born again. That's what born again is for. That's what born again is for. It's not to come in church and speak in tongues. It's only, but to go to the office and do things correctly. Bring righteousness, bring light there. That's what God is training us in church for. so that we will believe that I don't have to collect bribe to prosper. No, that is not prosperity. I don't have to do evil to prosper. That is not prosperity. I don't have to join them to be doing what is wrong to prosper. That's not prosperity. The prosperity I need is the one I will prosper in righteousness. God has made a way for me to increase and prosper. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. That's what faith is about. That's what faith is about. It's not just to meet my need. It's to be able to stand in righteousness. So that if I come to this place, they said, if you don't give bribe, you will not enter. I said, okay, I'm going home. I will not give bribe. Ah, when you now turn and you are going, they say, okay, now because of you, or you are coming inside. So, God has made a way where there seems to be what? No, yes, that's what is happening. People who are standing on the truth, standing on righteousness, standing on judgment, standing on what is right. God is opening doors for them so that they can see that God is able to make a way where there seems to be no way. Even in the middle of all the corruption, God can still make a way. Can somebody say amen to that? And you know, by the time you and I begin to stand up like that, you know, and challenge, like Jesus said, have faith in God. If you will say, and you will not doubt. Ah, you will have whatever you say. I went to an office. They have not paid me for 15 to 18 months. I asked the man, why have you people not paid me? He said, but why haven't you collapsed? He said, we have not paid you, so why haven't you collapsed? I said, so you're waiting for me to collapse? So I went home. And God said, just make one decree. Ask him to change or he will be changed. Change or you'll be changed. 2 weeks later, they changed him. Then the person that came paid me. That is it. God can make a way. You don't have to join them. God can make a way where there's no way. You know, everywhere you go, they know you, that you don't join in the mess because you are praying for a righteous Nigeria to come out, yes, so that you and I can be free from all these things. You know, free. You know, not that they told me the other day that there's a new form. They have made out a new form that police is catching people. If you don't have that form, they will you pay 10,000. They are catching people. Okay, so they gave me the link. I went to fill it. You can't fill that form. Oh. You cannot fill that form. You know, you cannot fill it. You know, so you see, They make all these traps. No, we don't need that type of thing now. You know, you need a country that is open. If they say there's a form, you go there, yes, you fill the form, you pay the money, you collect the certificate, everything is okay. You know, that's the way a country should run. Not everywhere you go, they've put an obstacle. You know, they put a trap to be collecting money. No, you know, after a while, everybody's tired of all this. Tired. A righteous Nigeria is a necessity. And it is men and women of faith that will bring it about. That's why you and I are in church. To learn to trust God. To learn to speak. Speak. Jesus said, if you can say, let righteousness begin in this place. You are working in an office. Everywhere is corrupt. You should kneel down in your office. Lord, because I'm here, let righteousness prevail here. One day, something will happen and everything will change. That's what one woman did. They are collecting bribes in her office, giving out government form for 500 naira each, free form for 100 naira. So she told the boys, stop collecting. They say, our guy is collecting there, everybody's collecting. So they're collecting there, we too will be collecting here. Yes, everybody's collecting. So one day she knelt down, she prayed, said, Lord, how can I be here? And this type of collection will be, I want a stop. Only 2 weeks after she prayed that prayer, only 2 weeks. One woman came there. They collected 500 naira. Unknown to them, she's the sister of their boss. So the woman went to her brother and said, the type of corruption in your office is daylight robbery. Yes, it's daylight robbery. That's how that thing stopped. You see, you don't know how God will stop it. He knows how he will stop it. But he needs somebody to come and say, I want this thing to stop. Yes, I make a decree. An end. That's our job. That's why they put the sword in our mouth. That's what it means to walk by faith. So everywhere you are, you introduce light in the middle of what? Darkness. Yes. So God is calling us. We have power. We have awesome power. You know, I want to show you Mark 11:24. I want to show you Mark 11:24 before I close. Jesus said, that's why I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received, and then you will what? You will have. When we pray for a righteous Nigeria, we say, Lord, we command, let a righteous Nigeria begin. And then we pray, thank you for a righteous Nigeria. We have received it. That's how we pray. We've received a righteous Nigeria. We've received it. Thank you for a righteous Nigeria. Somebody said, how long have you been praying? He said, we've been praying for quite some time. He said, have you seen it? Well, it's coming. It's coming. But can you imagine if 1 million of us, every day, morning and night, a righteous Nigeria. After some time, even the angels will go to God and say, answer them. The way they are praying, they can push down the door of heaven. That is why I'm here this morning. That God wants to recruit you to join by faith. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are what? Possible. If you can believe in a righteous Nigeria, it is possible. It is possible. Because you see, my individual prosperity is very small. But if the country prospers, all of us will what? Yes, the Bible said that when Solomon prospered, everybody in Israel prospered. He said silver was like stone. 1 Kings 10:27. Solomon made silver like stone in Israel. Everybody prospered. That's the type of prosperity you want. The Holy Spirit told me it's strategic. They call it strategic prosperity. When you prosper, everybody around prospers. That is it. That's what you need. Not that you have people who can eat, you have people who are suffering, children who can't go to school. That's terrible in this day and age. And that person that couldn't go to school, he can be the most brilliant professor in the world. You know, and that their lives are being wasted. No. A righteous Nigeria is very necessary for the benefit of everybody. That's why I want you to join. You know, Jesus said, if you can believe. Begin to believe in a righteous Nigeria. Begin to believe and begin to pray for it. A righteous Nigeria is a reality. It's not a possibility, it's a reality. It's a prophetic reality. The Pastor Elton said, corruption, yes. Stinking corruption, yes. Stinking. Have you been to Imo State now? Have you been to Imo State? Do you know what happened there 4 years ago? A man came forth in the election. Did you know it? He came forth. After they went to tribunal, the tribunal said, it's not possible that this man cannot win the election. He came forth. The man brought a bag of voter something. You know, police said this is his votes that were not counted. The tribunal said, police are not collation agents. You know, so they cannot bring voters something. Okay. They went to appeal court. Appeal court said, police cannot produce. What is their business with voters something? They went to Supreme Court. Supreme Court said, if a man's vote is not counted, count it. So that's how they counted the man's vote, too. And added it for him. And then he became governor. But do you know what happened? After they added the vote to him, the total vote now is more than the number of registered voters. And they're telling the Supreme Court, they say it doesn't matter, make him governor. That is it. Yes, in this country. How can you continue to live like that? You know, the next time they ask you to come and vote, you say, no need. That man already has his bag of vote. And when he gets to Supreme Court, they will allow it for him. So when you hear all these stories, that's when you kneel down and said, no, we need a righteous Nigeria. A righteous Nigeria. Come forth by the power of the Holy Ghost. Come forth. Every obstacle and hindrance to a righteous Nigeria. Crumble. That's how we pray. Because Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are what? Yes. So you and I can change the place without, we are not governor, we are not president, we are not, yes, we can change the place. Because we are speaking to the God of all heaven and earth. That's the power we have. That's how 11 people changed the world. They stopped slavery. Rome had 60 million slaves. They stopped slavery in the Roman Empire. And yet, they are not governors or anything. They are not soldiers. That's the power. That's why Jesus gave them a global commission. Go into all the world. Because of the power, spiritual power they possess. And that can be your testimony and mine. You may not know how important you are on the earth until you begin to trust God. You may think I'm an ordinary person. Nobody knows my name. It doesn't matter. Once God knows your name, then that makes all the difference. Once God knows your name, that makes all the difference. And that's why I'm calling you now. If you have not surrendered your life to Christ, then give your life to Christ now so you make a difference in the world. You will make a difference. I can guarantee you that if you give your life to Christ, you qualify to make a difference in the world. Because that's what Jesus did. He came and made us kings and priests unto God. You want to make a difference in the world, then give your life to Christ. Say to him, Lord Jesus, please come into my life now. Be my Lord and Savior. I want to make a difference in this world. I want to make a difference in this world. Jesus makes everyone that comes to him a king and a priest. He will teach you that you can change the world by faith. You can believe, you can decree, and heaven will back you up. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I am born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. I'm a brand new man. Okay, my brother and my sister, to put your right hand on your chest and say with me, O Lord my God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you to please forgive my sins. Please wash me in the blood of Jesus. Dear Lord Jesus, please come into my heart now and be my Lord and be my Savior. By your grace, I will belong to you. I will love you. I will serve you. I will not go back to the world all the days of my life. May it please you to make my life count in this world and in the world to come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, breathe your life on these your children because they have come to you today. Empower them by your spirit to stand strong. Make them pillars in the house of our God. Make them kings and priests unto God as they decree. Father, endorse their decrees. Let the sword of the Spirit walk mightily in their mouth to the glory of your name. For it is in Jesus' precious name we have prayed. And all the people said, Amen. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I am born again, more than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Okay, before I step down, I want you to own this vision. That prophecy of Pastor Elton, own it. Make it your own. A righteous Nigeria. And begin to bring it to birth. The Bible says in Isaiah 64, as soon as Zion travailed, what happened? He gave birth, travail. Lord, enough of a corrupt Nigeria. Let the righteous Nigeria begin. By the power of the Holy Spirit, begin to pray. I want you to own that vision. You know, when you own it, you will not only pray here. When you go home, you continue to pray. You will write it where you can see it. Every day you say, Lord, I lift up my hands to heaven and I call forth a righteous Nigeria. Come forth. That's one day we'll wake up. Things have changed. That's how God works. That's why Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. Own it. Say, Lord, I now own that vision of a righteous Nigeria. And I will birth it. I will give birth to it. So say with me, oh Lord my God, by your grace, I own now and possess that vision of a righteous Nigeria. And I will give birth to it in the name of Jesus. While you begin to pray that prayer, I own that vision of a righteous Nigeria. It is mine now. Every day, I will call it forth. A righteous Nigeria, come forth by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let the anointing come forth to birth a righteous Nigeria for the benefit of all of us. A righteous Nigeria is for the benefit of all of us. And it's of strategic global significance. A righteous Nigeria, strategic global significance. All our lives will be changed. Our world will change. The world will look at us differently. A righteous Nigeria will make all the difference. And so, every day you wake up, oh Lord my God, I call it forth. A righteous Nigeria, come forth by the power of the Holy Ghost. Every day, possess that vision, my brother, my sister, possess that vision. Join the many, join the few, calling forth a righteous Nigeria every day. Possess the vision. Possess the vision. Write it down. In Jesus' name we pray. I didn't hear that amen. Oh. Okay, now say with me, oh Lord my God, I receive the grace. I receive the anointing to stand in the gap for a righteous Nigeria. I receive the burden for a righteous Nigeria. I come before your most holy presence to worship your holiness, to worship your majesty, to ask to be empowered now. Empower me now, O Lord my God. Empower me now, O Lord my God. Empower me now, O Lord my God. And now I have received the anointing. And so I declare, let a righteous Nigeria come forth now in the mighty name of Jesus. Every hindrance of men, every hindrance of devils, every hindrance of nations, in the name of Jesus, I move you now. Move now. Move now. Let a righteous Nigeria come forth. In the name of Jesus, a righteous Nigeria, come forth now. Come forth now. Come forth now. In Jesus' mighty name. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Father, we receive this righteous Nigeria. It will be a reality in this our lifetime, to the glory of your name. For in Jesus' name we receive it. And all the people said, amen.